live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, a talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back, the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And I love working with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. Awesome always to get to promote the next projects. And coming up at the Byam Theater Thursday, April 16th at 7:30 p.m., tickets for Raising Cain, a Harlem Renaissance Odyssey, and I'm really excited to have on the program celebrity, and but first give the number 412-456-6666 to purchase tickets for April 16th show. I'm really excited to welcome the program award-winning actress. I remember her from NBC's A Different World as Whitley Gilbert. I'm excited to welcome the program, Jasmine Guy. Jasmine, thanks for calling, and I tell you, I watched a lot of The Different World, so it's an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Very happy to be on and very happy to be talking about this show, which is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Well, absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about the project, first of all, getting involved in raising Cain and stuff, and again, going all over the country promoting this for sure.
Well, Raising Cain is... basically, it's me and three phenomenal jazz musicians, Avery Sharp, percussionist Kevin Sharp, and violinist Diane Monroe. It's my first time working with a jazz trio. There's, of course, lots of music and some singing and dancing. And I'm really talking about this fabulous decade between 1919 and 1929, when Harlem was soaring, and the creative energy out of that decade was amazing in literature, poetry, art, as well as music, the birth of jazz. So we're basically celebrating this decade in a way that's very entertaining and accessible for the audience, but you learn a lot as well. You learn about our history. And it's a celebration of the gifts that these great artists before us left us. And it was a volatile time as well politically. And I have to add that because as I do excerpts of speeches from W.E.B. Du Bois and I talk about Booker T. Washington and Marcus Garvey, and you can look at our country 100 years later than this time and when these poems were written and go, whoa. This is still relevant today.
Definitely.
And I have those moments while I'm saying the work. I'm like,
yes.
I was watching CNN before I got here, and this just happened, and we're still dealing with some of these same issues
now
in our country, you know?
Well, I think it's such a great opportunity, especially for our Pittsburgh audience, but also other people to go check you out to make sure wherever else you're out doing this performance because of the history lesson. We cannot forget.
Yes.
We cannot forget. And history repeats itself in so many ways. And with the tensions that are currently going on in our country and how, as a people, we have to, as in the United States, understand that we can't make these same mistakes we did before going and seeing this performance.
Thank you.
And being able to, you know, really look at these things and say, what has happened to us? We're in the 21st century. And so I think you doing this performance now, it resonates with you and you're educating the audience, even people that might have thought they knew about the Harlem Renaissance. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Including me, you know,
right.
I took this project on thinking, oh, I love the Harlem Renaissance. Great. And then I get in there and I realize there's so much that I didn't know and so much that I hadn't heard or seen. But I want people to leave feeling united, that this is also us.
Yes.
This is what we do when we work together. And even though Harlem, you think black, the Harlem Renaissance couldn't have happened without white patrons, without white people crossing the color line.
See, that's interesting. I didn't know about
these actors. Yeah. You know, and I make that point, you know, that there was integration in spite of the law. The law is not always right. The law may be legal, but it may not be right. And as human beings and as Americans with the spirit that we are raised in, of freedom, we want a better America.
Yes.
We want an America that's not divided. And in order to do that, we've got to stop pointing and blaming and being shamed and victimized. But we can't do that if we don't tell the truth.
Definitely.
And as W.B. Du Bois said, look America in the face and call a spade a spade.
Right.
When we see that, when we see bad things happening, we've got to speak out.
Yes.
We've got to say something. That is what makes us powerful as a country. And so, you know, when you leave the theater, it's a time of rejoicing and celebrating. It's a time to think. It's a multi-generational audience that we've been performing for, where, you know, people my age are bringing their kids and their parents. And I love that, because that's the America I know. That's the real America that we live in.
And
we still have to think for ourselves.
Absolutely. Definitely. And let the audience learn from it, being entertained, but also educated. Because what we see in specific things is what the media tells us. And so kind of going in this history lesson, as I think, Jasmine, you saw my background, I'm an educator who owns a tutoring consulting company. So I'm really into history that I see in the books, mostly what happened during the Harlem Renaissance, not that whites had to patronize to make this successful. Tell us about that a little bit, because I did not know that, or maybe missed the point. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, basically, our soldiers have fought World War I for democracy over in Europe. But the black soldiers are returning to a segregated America. There are no jobs. Lynching is at its height.
Yes.
You know, and they're feeling betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did this for France and England, and now we come back to America that's no less safe for us than when we left.
Definitely.
And what happens is artists like Langston Hughes and Aaron Douglas and County Cullen and Claude McKay had white sponsors that afforded them the luxury of being able to write, to create, to paint. And then also, people were flooding the clubs up in Harlem, the Savoy, the Cotton Club. It was the birth of jazz, this new music, this new sound. That, too, is American.
Yes,
jazz is an American art form.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it was those monies and those customers and those patrons and those sponsors that made this decade thrive.
Definitely.
Of course, when the Depression hit, it hit everybody.
Yes.
You know, and of course, the bottom is always wiped out first. But I want to, you know, show that they, you know, I think, you know, America's always been conflicted. Even Thomas Jefferson was conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing about freedom for all men.
But he has slaves.
And he's calling men three-fifths of a man. And he's got sons that are his, by Sally Hemings, that are now property. This is very conflicting because it wasn't right.
No, it wasn't.
And so when you have thinking men trying to justify what isn't right, we're going to keep repeating this. We're going to keep repeating the disenfranchising of a people. And the people that are as American as anybody else, you know.
Definitely.
And I'm mixed with all kinds of things. So I claim to be really the all-American girl, because I come from immigrants and Africans that came here as slaves and Native Americans. And what's more American than that, you know?
Well, you, it's like think about
divisiveness.
How you changed the people's thinking through a different world. And how you were able to, at that time, in that time point, really bring from the Cosby Show on to you, mainstream African Americans and what they were like and the specific situations and how they're different in so many ways where people.
Well, yes, exactly.
So that you were anywhere in the United States or even all over the world, you finally knew that it's not, you don't just paint one picture of African Americans. And that's the,
right.
that's the great thing about this. And now looking even at shows like now, Black-ish, where we're seeing in specific aspects that, you know what, we can't just stereotype, one race in one way. And I think that,
the intra conflict of, you know, race relations.
Yeah.
Blacks, because just being black doesn't mean you think one way. Everybody doesn't have the same story and upbringing. But if you're just teaching and you're an educator, so you understand this frustration, you're just teaching Harriet Tubman and you skip to Martin Luther King. You're missing Reconstruction after the Civil War and how there were black senators and congressmen, and then how those laws were erased by the racist in the White House, Andrew Jackson and others, that said, oh, no, we can't let these black people have all this equality. We're going to change the laws. And then you've got Jim Crow, which was legal. Again, a legal institution. And you have to undo that. And now we have to be careful that everything that has been worked for is not undone, is not repealed, you know.
Yes.
I know you love history, and I do too, but this is a very tactile way of reaching our history.
Yes.
You know, it's hard for some people to read it, memorize dates, but once you see people as people and you hear their stories and their struggles and you see what they look like and how they dressed and how many kids they had. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When those people are personified and humanized, then we can remember that history better.
Definitely.
Oh, Dred Scott is not just a name anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel movies and plays and songs are very interesting and they hit the heart in a way that makes us remember our history. We relate to the history more when we know them as people.
Definitely, Jasmine, we do that. And when I think about what you're talking about, again, of mixed race and how you were discriminated growing up and how in specific ways Spike Lee showed that in a specific movie as well, that we learn specifically through experiences and learning about these things of that as African Americans, you're dealing with so much inner relations that are happening, that are not getting along and things like that to help, you know, the whole cause in so many ways.
Yes.
Because if you can't get along,
to teach your child, you don't want to teach your child all the bad and not the good. I mean, as a mother, you have to balance that. I have to balance that with my kid. But you also come from this. And you also come from this.
Yes.
You know, you can be proud, but if we're just telling our kids in America, you know, young America and rural America or America that doesn't have interaction with a lot of different kinds of people, that this group of people is one way, and they don't get to have a personal one-on-one relationship with people. I mean, A Different World was able to show all kinds of black people.
Right.
From different classes, educational backgrounds, different dreams. And I hope and I feel like it humanized the culture. But it's still very dangerous to keep dividing the culture.
Definitely.
And you know, because we still are all American, and we, in that sense, the commonality of just being from this country, which is very unique in and of its own right, also has to be embraced. Because if not for the moral principle of this country and the belief in freedom and the pursuit of your dreams, if we lose that mobility, I think we lose the essence of what America was founded on.
Definitely, Jasmine. And kind of last night I was on a interview with Mona Davids, who's suing New York City. The parents are suing the school district in the city for of lack of education. And we specifically hear the years of this happening. And she said, I went to the New York City schools, and then my kids are going, and it's the same thing still. All these kids are failing. Mm-hmm. And how are we if we don't educate the whole world and the whole country? Are we going to get through this? Because again, we're just going to go based on the stereotypes that we get from television, from radio, and specifics, instead of being educated and understanding how to learn on their own and get out and learn and understand what we have to do as a country, what we have to do to get along so that we don't become Rome and fall, so we don't become Great Britain, and specifically see the United Kingdom and how at one point that was the biggest power in the world, or other powers in the world. We need to continue to get along. And I think that's so fantastic. And I know that you're only there for one day.
Well, the greatest way to enslave a people is to keep them ignorant. I mean, that was one of the things that they did very well with the slaves. And just power. They knew that ignorance would keep us powerless. They knew that education would give us power.
Yes.
And to disempower our young people at this point, I'm a graduate of a public school system, Atlanta Public School System. I graduated in 1979. Kids that went to private school were privileged. They were rich, and they had the money to do that. I didn't know anybody that went to private school.
Right.
Now it is a necessity to send our kids to private school or an alternative educational system. And that is, you know, I find that profound, that we're not educating our kids in a public level, that we haven't figured out the schools that are working, whether they are the charter schools or the boys' schools versus the girls' schools. There are schools that are thriving, that have tried something outside of the box. Why don't we look at them and do it all over the country?
Exactly. I've said this.
You
need to be on my education talk shows as well to talk about this, because I think that the reason why you chose this project and you wanted to do this is because literally you wanted to educate and empower others to go out, and not just African Americans, but everyone, to get along and to understand how amazing
my
generation is suffering.
Yeah. My generation is suffering. I'm 53. I have a 16-year-old. We're struggling. We're having to provide way more than we can afford to provide for these kids.
Exactly.
So they can be on an equal playing field, you know. It doesn't have anything to do with race, although race, really what is happening is more about class to me. Because
class,
it's happening, you know, it's just poor people don't have a shot in hell.
Right.
And then you're not going to educate them either.
Exactly.
On top of that.
Yes.
You know, a family that's struggling can't send their five kids to school and trust they're going to be educated when they leave.
Yeah.
So where are they going to go from there?
It's so true.
Anyway,
so I know I got you on a soapbox, and I told you, I said, once I get the beginning of that show going, it's like talking. You're like talking to me on the phone, not through our millions of listeners. Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about, Jasmine, and finishing up again, this is reason you chose this project because of those reasons. But what it's going to do is everyone that needs to go to Pittsburgh again on April 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Byam Theater is that what they're going to learn is specifically the amazing part of how amazing the Harlem Renaissance was, the amount of talent. And you're going to tell that story through music and through dance and through celebration. And that's phenomenal. So where is the best place we can find information on you, especially for our national, international listeners that are saying, you know what, I want to see Jasmine perform this, or we need to get you globally performing Raising Cane. Where's the best place we can find info on you, Jasmine?
Our website is raisingcanethetour.com. Tickets.com. And that's RAISINCANETHET T-O-U-R. And we have a website. It tells you where we've been. We're open we have a lot of dates coming up this spring and summer into 2016. So we're booking all the way through 2016 right now. But all the information's on there. Our booking agent, Mark Balin, gives you some idea what the show is. There are photos up there. There are some testimonials of people that have seen the show. And I just got to add that I'm just very grateful to be able to be on stage and still do what I do, you know, because it's been a while.
Definitely.
The last musical I did was Chicago, and that was about 15 years ago.
Really?
So
oh, wow.
And
we could see you're working as an actress. You've worked in so many different projects. Check you out on Wiki and you'd see that and say, wow. And knowing well after A Different World, all the different things you've done. But I've talked to so many actors and actresses. And you know what they say that their favorite thing is to perform on stage? Every one of them tell me that. And, you know, regardless of what their success was, it's just the best. And to tell the story, and one of the things I hope that you do in some of the cities is really go to these schools. I think that going to the schools and providing this for teachers as a guide, especially in education and history, and for them to understand.
We have an educational guide that goes with the show that we send out ahead of time so that schools and teachers can, you know, participate, and we do educational performances as well during the day. We're not in Pittsburgh. The one is at 7:30. But, you know, just keep that in mind when people call us, that we do educational performances, workshops.
That's great to tell us for all the cities that you should be coming to, because this is a definite thing at this time, in this time period, for people to see how amazing this performance is, but also for us to wake up, as you've talked about and I've talked about, and let's get along. Let's stop this fighting.
Can't we all just get along?
For sure. And and we can follow you at Jasmine Guy, am I correct, on Twitter and all those different places as well, correct?
Yes, the Jasmine Guy on Twitter, and I am Jasmine Guy on Instagram, and my Facebook is I am Jasmine Guy.
And yeah. For our listeners in Pittsburgh, again,
people are using my name. That's why I have so many different.
Yeah, I know. You have to do that again. And also for our listeners out there, April 16th, 2015, for our Pittsburgh listeners, 7:30 p.m. at the Byam Theater. For tickets, 412-456-6666 or trustarts.org. And Jasmine, it was a pleasure. Again, I remember growing up watching you on A Different World, and to get to talk to you and really talk education was phenomenal. And I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Neil. It was my pleasure. I hope I see you at the show.
I hope so, too. Good talking to you, Jasmine.
Okay.
Take care. All right, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google+, Neil Haley. And I'll always continue the celebrities roll on and on. And one of the hit TV shows on Nickelodeon I have a guest on, and it's kind of a funny story. One of my students, once I said, you're going to get to interview her. And she was so excited when I told her. She said, do you watch this show? And she said, I love it. It's one of my favorite shows. And so I'm excited to welcome the program Haley Chu from Bella and the Bulldogs, Nickelodeon star. Haley, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. And I'm sure you've been just really pleased with the success of the show so far, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. I feel like everyone's doing great, and it's super fun. We're getting some good reviews, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's a great storyline, too. I was reading on it. I mean, it breaks stereotypes of girls and different things, and I think that that's needed in so many ways that makes it different, the premise of the show. For our listeners out there that do not watch Nickelodeon, because we have, you know, all types of people from celebrities to entrepreneurs, everyone listens to this program, tell us a little bit about the show, for sure, Haley.
Bella and the Bulldogs is about a girl named Bella who starts off as a cheerleader but wants to follow her dream and be the quarterback of a Texas football team. And through her journey, she's trying to kind of juggle her cheerleader friends and her football friends. In the end, she really does figure out who she wants to be. She's still going through conflicts now with her friendship and then the football team. But it's really cool to see kind of her story and how she, does it all.
Yeah, being able to be the cheerleader and the quarterback, that's quite interesting. And it really shows, again, especially Texas, for, you know, our listeners out there, we all know how big Texas football is. So to bring that type of storyline.
It's huge, football is.
And so you play Pepper. So tell us a little about your character.
I play Pepper. She is one of Bella's best friends. She is an overly caffeinated ball of energy. she's boy crazy. She loves fashion, and she's very loyal to her friends.
And when you first got the casting call to be on the show, what were your hopes from this process? Because I know you've done a lot of other things, but and heard the storyline and stuff like that. I'm sure once you got this casted for this, you were pumped, weren't you? For sure. The story of how it happened.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. It was like a dream come true, because, I mean, I've always wanted to be on a show on Nickelodeon. Now I'm kind of living that dream. It was crazy. I got the phone call when I was doing school, and my mom told me. It was a crazy audition process, so it did take a while. It took almost a year, actually, before I got the call. But it was honestly still to this day. It's like a dream come true.
When you auditioned, did you think you were going to have a role of being the best friend to the star of the show when you first did this, or you had no idea?
I have no idea, to be honest.
And then, so tell us a little bit about how you got started in acting. And I want to jump a little bit back to the show and some of the experiences. But for our listeners knowing, this definitely was your big break. But you worked before that on a bunch of different shows. So tell us specifically how you started in acting.
Well, my older sister, actually, she used to dance and sing. And then after that, my mom wanted to put her in acting. And then they wanted to put me in acting. They put all of my sisters in acting after that. Then I kind of started auditioning for commercials and then guest star roles and then bigger TV shows, and it kind of grew from there.
It grew and it grew and it grew, and you're like, wow, what?
Yes, until Bones of Bulldogs, pretty much.
Exactly, because then you're like, okay, now all these people are watching me now, and wow. And so you had some smaller roles that you played. What are some of them that are notable that you got some opportunities to be on certain shows that gave you that experience to be on a show like this, especially now becoming a hit show that you're able to, deal with the everyday grind of filming and stuff and different things. Tell us specifically some of the other shows you've been on.
I actually played the voice of Squeep on an animation show on Nickelodeon called Monster vs. Aliens. It's a spinoff of the movie. I've been a recurring on The Thundermans as Darcy Wong, a recurring on Go On, an NBC show. And I've done a Disney original movie called Ben Brother. And I've been on Hannah Montana, Sweet Life on Deck, a bunch of other little things.
Well, I mean, you saw some outside of the other range you were on. It was interesting to look at some of the other shows you've been on as well. So you had a variety of different experiences. What would you say, especially being a young actress, would you say the best experience, advice you've gotten from a veteran actor that we might know, that you were on a set of or got to, that helped mentor you in a little bit, in some sort of way, for sure?
Well, I've done older shows, so I've kind of had a lot of people just give me advice and tell me things, and especially being on Bell and the Bulldogs. I mean, every day is kind of like a lesson for me, not only doing and reading the script as Pepper, but also kind of learning from that and the people around me, because they all are really experienced. But I mean, it's all about just hard work, determination, and patience, really. You have to really want it.
And it seems like you definitely really want it. And what are your career aspirations? Do you want to be doing films someday and a bunch of different things? Is this definitely where you want to go in life, as being an actress? Do you think in your career?
I mean, I would love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love to move into the movie industry. I think that would be amazing, doing all different kinds of genres, like comedy, drama, horror, everything. I would love to do that. I would also love to stay in like the show business as well. I mean, it's all great.
Like sometime maybe be behind the camera as well as a producer and do certain things. Be involved in the whole business end of things, for sure.
I would definitely even love to be a director. I would love to see what it's like being behind the camera instead of in front of it. I think that's also really interesting and different.
And then also, I see you grew up in a family of five, so it must have been crazy, the house, right? Because I have five kids of myself. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always like a party everywhere you go.
And basically, we also look at some of the stuff you definitely give back as well, working with St. Jude. Tell us a little bit about that, too, Haley. Working with St. Jude.
Oh, yes, St. Jude. Well, that was awesome. I did it with one of the castmates from the show, Bella, who's played by Brett Backmuller. I went with her and a couple other people. That was awesome. It took place at the Paramount Studios, and we just walked. I forgot how many miles, but it was quite a lot, and it was awesome. I mean, I got to meet some amazing kids, and it was just nice to know that you're doing something great for other people.
So how much after getting on this show have you been recognized around town and different places now, being on a show like this that, you know, weekly you're on, and you know you're one of your friends with again Bella, and you're real now? How has your life changed in that way, would you say, Haley?
I'm sorry,
how did your life change in that way, Haley? Tell me specifically from
I mean, it's so weird now because, like, it's like I go somewhere, people recognize me, and I think that's just so interesting to, like, kind of make new friends from people who watch and admire your work. And I think that it's just so, I mean, it's crazy to even think that I'm on a show, but, I mean, it's like, it honestly is what I love to do, and it's just something that I want to continue to do, and, yeah.
So what do you have to promote right now? Anything new with the show or anything that you can update your fans?
There are a lot of exciting things. We haven't started filming season two yet, but we will. A lot of relationships and drama, and lots of funny jokes and comedy.
Well, fantastic for sure. And you continue, I'm sure, as a working actress looking for more opportunities. A great show you're on right now. And, you know, if a hit show leads to a movie, and movies lead to more opportunities. So I think you're definitely on your path, Haley, to where you want to go in life for sure. And by the way, Haley, you're talking about going to school and stuff like that. Did you graduate from high school yet, or how old are you?
I'm actually still in middle school. I'm in eighth grade. I do independent study, so I pretty much get the same amount of work you do in school. I just do it at home and independently. On set, we actually have three teachers that help us stay on track and focus. But it's definitely a lot of work. But, I mean, it's also fun because you have all these people around you to help. So it's a journey, but it's an exciting journey.
Do you plan on going to college and then still working while going to college? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I definitely plan on going to college. I don't know if I'll be doing anything, like if I'll be shooting a movie or anything exciting during that time. But, yeah, I would definitely have to go to college, and if I can, maybe do it at home as well. So, you know, I always have to be somewhere.
Absolutely. You're very mature for an eighth grader, for sure. I can't imagine in that place and where you're going. And again, playing an older character, too, for sure. That's interesting, for sure, as well. But all those things. So where's the best place we can find information on you, Haley, and learn more about you? I know you have a Twitter. Do you have a Facebook, Instagram? Where are the best places we can go?
Probably my Instagram, which is at Haley Chu, and then you can also go on my IMDb, which is just my name, Haley Chu, and my Twitter, and I have lots of fun upcoming projects, so don't forget to stay tuned.
And you can't tell us about those projects yet because they're under wraps.
No,
till
I cannot.
they're under wraps till we hear more and more about it. Well, it's awesome, Haley, and I'll be tweeting this out when it airs all over syndication. And best of luck in your success. And I'm definitely gonna tell one of my students again, Claire, about getting the opportunity to interview you, and she's going to be really excited about that. And
she's
a big fan. She's a big fan, as I said at the beginning of the show. So I will definitely tell her about that. And best of luck to you, Haley.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
All right, great talking to you too. Take care now. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back. The Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And it's interesting when we talk about specifically celebrities, especially reality TV stars, and how, you know, how their lives change once they get on a reality television show. And especially this interesting one. So I'm excited to welcome the program from the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills on the E! Network, Roxy Solati. Roxy, how are you? And thanks for calling the program.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for having me. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I think you're doing better in L.A. than I am with the rain in Pittsburgh. But we've had gorgeous weather most of the time in April compared to when we were freezing cold in the East at another time. So basically, Roxy, when you were first approached to do a reality television show, how did you feel? I mean, were you a little hesitant to think about doing this?
I was a lot of hesitant. I was definitely leaning towards saying no. I was definitely panicking a lot. But the thing was is that the show was really based on my real friends. So Morgan and Dorothy, the two main people on the show, they're friends of mine for many, many years. So they were kind of like, just do it with us. Maybe it can help your business. You do interior design. Maybe this could be your platform. Why not just try it? And it's just us, not like we're cast with people we don't know. So after a lot of debating, I'm like, it's just why not? It's going to be an experience. It'll be good or bad. Either way, it'll be an experience that I can grow from and learn from, you know?
And definitely.
So I just kind of went with it.
And from that opportunity, your character continued to grow in the show, right? To the point where this year it's going to be really exciting, the launch of May 24th, for sure.
Definitely. I mean, now we're on our third season, and now I'm definitely a main character, and they're showing a lot of what's going on in our lives, and it's really become a major part of my life the past year and a half. It definitely is very consuming being on a reality show.
Definitely it is, and especially because you're not, you know, related to anybody, you know, so famous, like what we're going to be talking about in the next season, what you're one of your castmates that, you know, is used to the paparazzi and just different specific things. You and your life and your business and different things like that and your friends and what Beverly Hills is like. But once you get on camera and you're seen all the time, your life changes so much and the paparazzi starts to follow you as well, right? That's what happens.
Yeah, you know, suddenly one day you're like it's not normal anymore. And people are looking at you, you feel people taking photos of you, which is a very bizarre thing.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
And how do you feel about that paparazzi and stuff? I mean, you're used to Beverly Hills and wow, look at this gorgeous place in LA and you never, everything is always more
perfect
and different compared to the whole U.S. for sure. And how did you feel when you started getting a paparazzi and different things like that and a little bit more notoriety? How did you feel? Did you like it, or at times did you want to not be as public as you were? What is your thought?
At times I like to hide and not be public. Definitely. I feel that more than ever. I used to always be dressed to the nines and out and about more. And now I'm kind of like, I kind of want to hide and be really casual because I'm so done up every other day. It's kind of like now I don't want that. I want to hide from it more times than not.
And that's so true. And you're like, okay, I want a break. I mean, I have the same situation with my tutoring consulting company. Everywhere I go, I'm approached, asked about education. And at times, and then you think, okay, I'm with my family at Mass. Well, it'll stop, right? People aren't going to approach me and ask me about, it just continues. And when you own your own business, as you know, as an entrepreneur, and that's a great segue, but I want to first talk about this season for a second. I know I can't say much, but I can at least give our listeners a little bit of a preview for May 24th it never stops as an entrepreneur. It's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week business, and you love it because it's yours.
And you're allowing people into your lives, and people love you, so it's part of what you've kind of signed up for, you know?
Exactly. If you want to go work an 8-to-5 job or 9-to-5 job, and you basically are in a cubicle and your day's over, it's not like you're living your mission and vision and your dream. And that's what entrepreneurship is for sure. Okay. Now,
exactly.
I'm really interested in the show now. And I definitely, my wife and I are going to check the season out, especially on demand for sure. Now, looking at specifically one of your castmates this season, Taylor Hasselhoff, that's got to be pretty cool. Was she part of the show before this or coming
up? She was not. But, you know, my sister and her were best friends from elementary through high school. So I've known her my entire life. I've traveled with her family. We've really grown up together. So she's our first season on our show, but we've known her for years.
And what do you think? I mean, so I guess the paparazzi has followed you before, because if you're hanging out with Taylor, there's a possibility that's going to happen, right?
You know, I guess that now that I think about it, when I was younger and we'd be out and about, like in London, that maybe she was, her dad was definitely followed by paparazzi, but I never kind of thought about it till just now, to be honest.
Well, I'm just thinking that picture.
Which is funny.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we all have a celebrity friend. When you're in LA, you always know somebody famous, so you've definitely been around it before. So it doesn't feel so foreign. You know what I mean?
Well, I know. When I headed to L.A., for an event, I could just hang out with a lot of people from L.A. that I knew that were celebrities. So, you know, not huge celebrities, but people that I've interviewed before, they couldn't wait to see me in person and stuff. So it is what it is. When you go to L.A., it just happens. You can make a couple phone calls. And if I was heading out to L.A., I could have a live a taping and have, I don't know who would show up, you know,
because
that's LA. That's not Pittsburgh. That's for sure. So there'll be some interesting things. Can you tell us some interesting things for season 3 that for our listeners to kind of look forward to in this process?
I think that now we're an hour long show, so there's a lot more time for stories to develop, and there's a lot. We're, all of our guards are finally down. So I think that we're all a lot more real. So in essence, like a lot more drama has happened. Like you see us, there's a lot of tears. It's a lot more. And we go on a lot of fabulous trips. We go to the Bahamas, and we go to Vegas, and we go to London and Paris. So a lot of fabulous travel, more fabulous than before. But I think there's a lot more drama than ever before. And real emotions, which is kind of scary.
And one thing that Roxy, that makes it very interesting for you in the story, is that you were financially cut off last season, and now your entrepreneurship is the way to get yourself out of this. And you are very motivated with what's going on with a couple of your projects. Tell us about those. But is that true? Getting cut off financially, you said, "Hey, I gotta just keep working, right, and keep going."
Yeah, I mean, my dad knew that if he said, "Roxy, that you're on your own, that I'm going to figure it out." And I definitely did. And I did whatever I could to find clients and push myself. I have some amazing clients right now. I'm working with a Jane the Virgin star, Jaime Camille, which is so exciting for me. I have a couple of other really great clients. And I'm making my long-term goal is more making products. I made a candle line. And I'm going to do like home decor goods like pillows and lamps and like little home accessories. So that's really where my focus is going to be. So I'm trying to do the clients and the products and kind of build myself. So once filming is over this season, I'm going to push myself even more.
What's amazing about this, using reality television in the right way? I've talked to so many Real Housewives, to people from Married to Medicine, different shows, that ultimately all of them have told me, you know, it's so important how we portray ourselves on this show, because you never know what the cameras will show, especially if we're entrepreneurs. We're looking at our business. We're looking at our brand. And if our brand gets tarnished in any ways, it can really hurt us. But if you...
Honestly, it's really scary.
Yeah.
The editing gets really scary. But at the end of the day, I think the goal of reality TV is if people can somewhat identify with you, then they'll believe in you enough to, you know, buy your product, whatever it might be. So I think there are two sides to every story, no matter how they edit you, and people have to be able to see that. And it's also, editing is, you have no control over it.
No.
How they want to paint the story.
You definitely can paint the picture, and especially producers figure out things. And, oh, look, we just found this out. And then you're like, oh, my. Would there be any time?
And they manipulate.
Exactly. And how much is it so when you're getting recognized, is it helping your business since you've been on the show? Has that been a great place to help launch the business even more in growth and ideas and product lines for sure?
I think it definitely is setting a good platform, and it's setting a good foundation for it. I don't think it's hit home yet, but I think it's definitely, I'm laying my foundation, and hopefully in the next couple of years it will, you know, the seeds will grow and it will do what I want it to do.
What it helps is you're in Beverly Hills and different places. Oh, I saw you on that television show, and it just starts a conversation.
Yeah, you know, I actually get noticed more when I'm not in L.A. When I'm like in Paris or when I was in Morocco with my family for Christmas, I got noticed so much. It was incredible.
Well,
which tells me that, you know, that's major.
It's huge. You're international. And that's
yeah.
And do you have any aspirations of doing any acting at all or anything?
No. That's never been my thing.
Not at all.
I'm more a creative designer.
So this is, again, this show is what it is for what you'll do, but your goal ultimately is as an entrepreneur. Where do you want to see this go?
Yeah, and maybe my own design show, something like more creative.
Yeah, you seem like you could be a host someday of something.
I could totally host. I could totally do something. I love talking and chatting, and that's my thing.
Well, I could tell. It's just like us having a conversation right now, Roxy, right? It's not like you're getting, exactly. It is what it is. I remember talking to somebody from one of these reality shows, and she launched her own talk show. So really the key part of all this is you like the entertainment business, but only certain sides of the entertainment business, and you always look at the entrepreneurial side of continuing to build your brand and your vision and mission. And because it's your brand, you can't tarnish
that
brand. Yes,
Neil, can I hire you as my manager? You're so fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks.
that should be my pitch.
I would love that. We'll fly my family to Beverly Hills and I'll see you in a couple days. No, I'm very good. I didn't tell you this. No, I don't know if they knew this in my background, your publicist. I was a former professional wrestler, so I was in the entertainment business. I never made it big time, but I wrestled overseas and ran into a lot of the top WWE stars and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So I learned from the promoting end of things how to brand myself and also do some social media and branding coaching for people and look at and entrepreneurial coaching. So that's where I kind of know that I know that build up. But my real big things, tutoring and consulting, being the tutor, I hope someday the tutor to the stars at one point in time, that would be awesome. And
I tutored when I was young. I tutored lots of many children when I was in high school.
Cool. And I would love at one point to have my own reality show. I want to have my own. I want to be the cake boss for tutoring. That's what I want. I constantly think I can do it, and so fantastic. But this is all
you will.
About
you'll
this,
manifest it.
It's all about Roxy now. So where's the best place we can find information on you? We can go ahead and watch the show, learn more about the show, different things that are going on with you, your product lines, and all that. Where can we go?
On my website, RoxySolaty.com, RoxySolaty.com. This season will be really fun. I hope everyone likes to tune in. It's going to be, I think it's just, you see us really dealing with friendships and a lot of different things. It's a lot more real this time.
And that's interesting. And I'm going to tune in and I'll be tweeting it out and live tweeting.
Okay, it's really fun. We're also really funny and silly. So it's definitely a lot of everything. But, I mean, everyone on the show is hilarious. Each of us are a totally different eccentric character. So it's fun. We have a lot of fun together.
Well, my wife always likes to watch those different ones because, can you believe this? We have five kids, but she's still a kindergarten teacher. I do a lot. I kind of take on some. I'm at home a lot in different times, but we kind of. Five kids, exactly. Yeah. So, and my wife's 5 foot and I'm almost 7 feet tall. So you have to kind of.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm 5 feet tall, too. You're 7 feet tall?
Yeah. I'm 6'10. Yeah. So you could see me on Facebook at Neil S. Haley, and you could see specifically how tall I am of my kids and stuff.
I'm going to do it right now.
Okay, cool. Roxy. Well, it was great talking to you. Best of luck with everything. And like I said, just
thank
having
you.
That. And I'm going to definitely anytime check out different things and keep promoting you. And I hope to have you back on the show another time. So thanks
thank
again for
you,
calling,
Neil.
Roxy.
Thank you for having me. Nice chatting.
Nice chatting with you as well, Roxy. Take care.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And when I think about a celebrity show, you know, I got in this big kick of entering all these athletes. Then I started in a different role, and it seems like now it's more reality and different hit shows and people from the past. It's so interesting from promoting a guest on the E! Network to talking to somebody from Nickelodeon, now TLC. So I'm excited to welcome the program Jason and Cassia Hitch from TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. Jason and Cassia, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And it's kind of funny. I was doing some Google searching on both of you, investigative reporter that I am and journalist from education. And I guess the first announcement before we can get into why you did the show is that there are rumors out there, Jason, that you guys never did get married. So isn't that so? I don't know if you see those different things online.
You saw that we never got married?
Yeah. Have you been? So you got to go check out your. Yeah.
No way.
No, really. Yeah. I just wanted to say that. It's kind of a interesting part of the PR of things when you kind of search and dig up certain dirt that's on the internet. Didn't know that, Jason.
No, I didn't. But I guess I could see that. You know, the conspiracy theories are out just about everybody, and everybody has an opinion on things. But the truth of it is that Cassie and I were actually married about a week before the time we were in Las Vegas.
You know, it's kind of, but also, you know, that they even have your wedding that then someone did uncover, and it has your license online too. So I just wanted to tell you that. So you guys can check those things out. So Jason, when you first decided to do the show, and I'm going to ask Cassia the same thing. When you first decided to do the show, were you hesitant about being on the show 90 Day Fiancé at all? Or what was your thought?
I was a little bit. The original plan was that Cassia and I were actually going to get married this year in the summer of 2015 and not in 2014. And the show allowed us to kind of fast forward our lives a little bit, but I was a little leery of what was going to happen. I had seen season one, so when the show and I were talking about their interest in Cassia and myself, I played it like I wasn't interested, even though we were talking, and because I wanted to gauge their interest, because I didn't want to be screwed around for a month or two saying, oh, we're interested and we're not interested and go back and forth. I didn't want to do that to Cassie either. You know, she had her school, she had a job, she had her family. She had a lot of things going on down there, and I didn't want to play with her emotions. And I wanted to make sure this was a right fit for both of us to get married on TV.
And what was your thought, Cassie? Was it first no when Jason told you about this being on a show? Or what was your thing?
Yes, I told him no. I didn't want to do anything about it because I knew they would put a lot of drama on this. But we decided to do it because we wanted to educate people about the K-1 visa and all that people need to do. It's not, like, easy to come in here. You have to do a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yes, at the first I said, no way, I'm not doing it.
And Jason, because you're an entrepreneur, was it something that in a lot of your ways thinking about, hey, this is great PR, or this could be something also that is something to get us on the map for different opportunities, would you say? Or like, what are you thinking? What were your thoughts when?
Well,
yeah. Of doing.
I told Cassia just pretty much from the beginning, and actually a few days ago that if we have a 1% chance of creating an environment, creating an opportunity, opening a door that maybe not necessarily was available if we were just, I don't know what you want to say, regular people.
Right.
Then let's take that chance. Let's gamble and create an environment where she and I can work together on something and basically not be away from each other.
Yeah, and that's true for sure. And that there's this one shot top opportunity. You see it in so many ways as looking at, you know, creating a public brand, creating a brand. And Cassia, that's what you saw after he kind of talked you into saying, let's do this. Let's show what this is all about, right? And the challenges of this and also our lives. And you kind of letting them in, right, Cassia?
Exactly.
So that's pretty much. So, Jason, experience after the show, reflection, what would you say after it aired on TV and everything?
Well, you know, what we've stated in prior interviews, it's kind of like what we're experiencing now. It's kind of like watching a football game and having the ability to have the remote control to rewind and watch, you know, ourselves in slow motion to watch us. But to watch this in instant replay, and then now we kind of go back and forth to say, hey, I can't believe they showed that, but they didn't show this, and they showed that. You know, we understand that, you know, the TLC has obligations. They wanted to make a good show, granted, but you know, it is what it is now, and they showed about an hour of our relationship out of 126,000 minutes. And, you know, we're able to be here in Spring Hill, Florida. I won the prize because I'm married to the love of my life. And we're excited about the new opportunities that she and I have in our relationship. and opportunities that perhaps are going to grow outside of the show.
Now, Cassia, what was your reflection from the show? How did you reflect from after watching it and everything?
Yeah, I learned of not judging people just for some minutes that I saw them on TV, because I know that's wrong. Doesn't happen to me. Like, I had a lot of people on Facebook, Twitter, just tear me and telling about and saying things about my hair or about the way I talk, you know? And I learned from this show how to respect people, because it's very hard, because a lot of people want to respect, but they don't respect each other. And that's it.
It's interesting. And a lot of times we see these reality television shows and say, these people aren't going to be very nice. Then you talk to them in person, you're like, wow, they're completely different, because you never know what that camera's going to film, Jason. You never know what you're going to say, and they're going to consider that's that person. Right, Jason?
Exactly. That's why, you know, we wanted to provide an environment on our public Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our own website to actually show videos we did while they didn't film us last summer, to show people possibly the real us, and we've gained quite a few thousand fans that way, and we're pretty proud of what we did and what we're showing, because that's what it's all about.
It's definitely, Jason, that's what it's all about, and it's a fun thing for sure. Now, tell me specifically the projects you and Cassia have coming up. What's going on after the show, and how your lives changed, and where are you going from here?
Well, Cassia is an artist in her own right. She's got a graphic design marketing background with a strong journalistic background. So we're letting her do what she does, which is to write and create. And, of course, I have an entrepreneurial and sales and marketing background. So we're kind of merging our talents together. We've been fortunate to be here in Spring Hill, Florida, and I called on a friend. And he actually is one of the largest, or he is actually the largest snack and peanut company here in Florida. And Cassie and I have started a business called GiftingFun.com. It's going to carry a line of snacks and candies, and she does all the graphics. I do all the sales, and we're ready to go to market. We're going to be ready to go to market here in a week or two, and it will allow us to work together 24 hours a day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That would be something I wish for my wife, because where my business is going and having those opportunities. So, Cassia, so that you're pretty excited about that, merging your talents together into an entrepreneurial venture.
Yeah, we can work together and have fun. I think this way is better than him or I trying to get every job and then work all day long outside home and then get home tired. So I think Jason had a brilliant idea of us working and have fun together. This is all that matters.
And Jason, we got the gift. Thank you again, my wife and I. Thank you for sending the gift. And we definitely can't wait to try a bunch of the different things. So thank you for sending that. That was that's the first time in a long time. I remember when I went to the National Publicity Summit, somebody once sent me a gift for coming on my show. But I haven't had that much. Hint, hint to all the other top people, please send me stuff. We can definitely utilize it. But Jason, so the excitement of where you're going and where you want to take this is exciting, and Florida compared to Illinois, and the world is your oyster, right? Putting these talents together, isn't it?
It definitely is, and right now we hope by the end of the summer we're also going to do exactly what we wanted to do from day one. We're going to finish our book, which will talk about our relationship from day one and go into how this K-1 process starts from beginning to end and kind of bring it back down to the basics. We thought that the show would perhaps educate people a little bit more in the K-1 process, but that was just touched on a little bit on the show. But now with this book and with our marketing, I hope that people can reach out to us at Jason and Kasia on our public page and jasonandkasia.com to come to us with any questions or concerns about their K-1 experience so we can all learn from each other. One case in point is we, Kasia and I didn't know that she could have applied for a Social Security number after 2 or 3 weeks that she first got here.
Wow.
And you know, had we had known, it could have changed. It could have changed everything when it came to when we got our papers worked on, when she could have started working, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes you have to learn the hard way.